Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. Level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bust them, and everybody else in between. Throwing it down to Monday night meltdown edition of the program. And a meltdown is appropriate and fitting as a Major League Baseball has a meltdown. A bunch of bullpens have meltdowns. And NFL football fans could be on the verge of a meltdown. Draymond Green's brain has melted down. As Draymond Green says, Black Lives Matter does not affect the Toronto Raptors. As, Draymond Green, the philosopher and the deep thinker that Draymond is. Listen, I'm surprised that Draymond Green is able to find the arena that he plays in, all right? Like, I'm literally surprised that, like, the Golden State Warriors don't have to send a driver for him because he would get lost. But, you know, you expect Draymond Green to say stupid things, yet. So what, does Draymond Green think that only, like, black people in America, like, he doesn't think like racism exists in Europe, in Africa, in Canada, or anywhere else? Like Serge Ibaka is from Congo, Draymond Green. Like, I'd like to see who's had like a harder life, like growing up. Like, Kyle Lowry's from Philadelphia. Like, yeah, I'm sure like life's been easy for Pascal Siakam. He's never been profiled before, right? Chris Boucher basically told him to shut up, who's from Montreal, who there's been like, you know, Montreal police aren't exactly known as the most racially tolerant over the years. We'll put it that way. It's just an uneducated, stupid crap dribble mouth from Draymond. But you know what, Draymond? At least when you think of the Toronto Raptors, you can remember them kicking your ass in the NBA Finals. Yeah, it's amazing, the stupidity of Draymond Green. Like, the general manager of the Toronto Raptors is black, you dumbass. Like, is your like GM black? No. Like, Draymond Green really is a moron. He really is a moron. But as I stated, I have positive memories of beating him, so it's all good. Sports Rage late night. We're gonna dive in. Pucks. Let's talk pucks. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
All right, let's roll. The show's flying by. The fastest 120 minutes in sports continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Great job in Master Control, Midtown Manhattan. We're kicking it on the West Coast. George Kurtz joining us from Long Island. The Islanders and the Florida Panthers now just days away from their playoff series. And it really is a battle of weaknesses and strengths, so to speak, in that the Florida Panthers aren't very good defensively, but the New York Islanders can't score. And conversely, the Florida Panthers are very good offensively, but the New York Islanders are very good defensively, right? Like a very interesting stylistic matchup where they match up. But let's jump into some pucks here, Kurtz. And, you know, I don't know what to expect, you know, and people, we've never been through anything like this. So I don't really know what to expect. I talked about it briefly. So Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins says he expects sloppy hockey. He didn't say bad hockey. He said it's going to be a grind, and that, you know, basically even the scrimmages and what he's seen isn't pretty, and that it's just impossible to be into like that game shape when you're not. Like, it's basically almost like they're starting a new season. It's preseason all over again. There's no scrums allowed, George, right? There's no fighting. Like, whatsoever. Not that there was a ton of fighting in the playoffs anyways anymore, unfortunately. But there's no fighting at all. And there's no scrums, no face rakes or anything allowed anymore, George. Like, the refs are serious about it. They can't converge after. And takes a little of the intensity away, that, bro. It just does. And I think it sort of helps the chirpier, mouthier guy. An offensive dude, they can chirp and know the other guy can't do anything. He can't fight me, and he can't even get close to me, really. So offensive guys are going to feel a little bit more emboldened out there. And I personally, and I don't know, I'm not saying this factually because no one knows. In my own personal opinion, I think the young teams are going to have an advantage in this first round. I think the younger teams, you know, these dudes and their speed, I think the older guys could have a harder time dialing it up a notch. I think the younger kids could come out flying faster, George. That's my opinion. What's your take?
Oh, I would agree with you about the younger players. Absolutely. You think their legs will be fresher, if you want to call it that way. They'll be ready to go, maybe more excited to go, however you want to look at it. I want to see the refs enforce the scrum thing before I start believing this is not going to happen. I don't know how you stop this. What are you going to do if there is a scrum? You're going to give everybody a 2-minute penalty? You're going to have 10 players in the box? I want to see how this is going to work here when it comes to the face washing.
But that's another thing, George. We can't have six people in the box anymore like the old days.
You're right. I wonder how they're going to do that. Are they going to make it delayed penalties?
No, they'll probably go to the room, go to the dressing room or something. Like, you can't sit in a box. Let's just say hypothetically it ended up that way. Things got out of control. Mini riot breaks out on the ice. All right, sorry, and everyone... You can't put five guys. Like, remember, they used to all squeeze into the box together. I don't know. Supposedly, they're dead serious about it, though. They said you can't have scrums after.
But if you have multiple guys in the box, Gabe, and if it's not a delayed penalty, in other words, they all got to come out, what are you going to have? Some guys in the box, some guys crawling over the glass to get back on the ice, some guys coming in from the locker room? I mean, that'd be nuts. You got to go skate 40 feet before you're offsides, or you're way out of the play because you got to go skate 180 feet to get back in the play. So I wonder if they're just going to give out all delayed penalties. Keep it 5-on-5. You guys get back after a whistle, stuff like that. I imagine that would be the rule to have that. But I also wonder this, Gabe.
These are things no one's thought of before.
I hope they thought of that, because that's a pretty easy thing to think of. Come on, you and I just brought it up right now. I mean, this is not like we've been going through this for days and days. It's just, look at this. But I also wonder this as far as the playing surface. You know, on Saturday, the Rangers, Carolina play the first game. You know, then the Islanders, Florida, second game. Montreal, Pittsburgh, third game. In the Eastern Conference. All the same ice.
Wow.
Do the Rangers have the advantage? Does the first game have the best ice? And then the Pittsburgh-Montreal game have the worst ice? Because they're playing literally three games 8 hours apart.
Yes.
So I wonder how that's going to work. Because I think I've heard you're only going to have 66 minutes in between games.
That's insane. And what happened to, and listen, I never cared. Cam Stewart was the one who was all, you can't have teams playing on their home ice. Well, that's what happened. They didn't put the East and the West and vice versa, like people thought they were going to, like there was a report. All right, so let's jump in. So first up is the Rangers and Carolina, noon Eastern, guys, from Toronto, noon Eastern. Rangers, Carolina. What do you think about this series? Who do you like in this series? It's a tough one. We're very evenly matched. Except the Rangers have had the got the better of these guys over the years.
Rangers have dominated Carolina. Dougie Hamilton's not going to play. One of their better players, their best defenseman here. He's out weeks. He may be out months, not weeks. So he's done. And like I said, I think the biggest question for the Rangers, who starts in goal? All that you mentioned, that history the Rangers have over Carolina, is all with Lundqvist in goal. But he was terrible this year, right? Shesterkin's certainly the better goaltender. I'm curious to see what they do here. You know, do the Rangers go with the Hall of Famer in Lundqvist, or they go with the better player in Shesterkin? But either way, I like the Rangers. Kreider, remember, he wasn't going to play if the Rangers made the playoffs in the first round. He's healthy now. He's back. Give me the Rangers.
All right, so the line for the game, Carolina are minus 135 on Saturday morning. The over-under is 5.5. So what are we expecting here, Kurtz? Is it going to be tight checking? Are the referees going to call a bunch of penalties? Is it going to be intense hockey? Is it going to be slower? I don't know what to expect. That's the whole problem. What kind of, my gut instinct tells me there's going to be goals. I'm not saying specifically in this game, but my gut doesn't tell me it's going to be a bunch of 2-1s. I think there will be goals still, but what do you think about what do you think about the tempo? What are you expecting? Tight checking, or do you think it opens up?
The Rangers' defense is terrible. That did not get fixed over the last 4 months. It's not any better here. I think goals are going to be scored as well. I'm not saying 5-4 games here, but the total is 5.5. I'm going over here. Listen, I don't think any of us knows how the hockey is going to be played here. And I understand judging it by what happened 4 months ago or early in the season is meaningless right now. But listen, I said the Rangers' defense hasn't gotten better. Carolina has, in my mind, still question marks in goal. I like the over here as well. Rangers in the over.
All right, so it's the Rangers are plus 115. The total is 5.5. As far as the series price is concerned, the New York Rangers are plus 112. Generally, guys, in sports, you'll see NBA, NHL, the money line is normally the same as what the series price is in game one. And you pretty much see it right here. That a plus 115, plus 112, plus 136. And as we alluded to, guys, and the last time they did this in 1986, the winner of game one won all in a 5-game series, went on to win all the series. All right, so right up after that, so noon Eastern Saturday, then we got a real fun one. 3:00 Eastern from Edmonton, the Edmonton Oilers playing on their home ice against the Chicago Blackhawks. Total in that one is 6.5. Edmonton Oilers minus -165. What do you make of this game, this series? You know, the Oilers are sort of a younger version of what they'd like to be what the Blackhawks were, so to speak. You know what I mean? They got all these young players and all the young talent, but can they string it together right now? And has this layoff given the Blackhawks have talent? But they're dudes that have played in a lot of hockey games, you know, Cups, Canada, U.S., Olympics, all that type of stuff. Yet this layoff could help the Blackhawks a little bit. A lot of people think it comes down to Blackhawk goaltending. Are you ready to trust the Edmonton Oilers here in the game series? What's your take on the game and series?
Crawford will play, right? He's back at full practice. He had COVID, but he's recovered from it. Do I trust the Blackhawks? I mean, I like Kane and Taze, but I'm going with the Oilers here. McDavid, Draisaitl, I think they're dying for this. I think they take care of business in this series, but I like the over here as well.
You know, hockey is a team sport, but Connor McDavid, you've got to step up. You got to put the team on your back and get it done. You know, and you know, there's no fans, but let's not pretend that it's not somewhat of an advantage for Edmonton. You know, they've been at home. They haven't had to go anywhere. They're not as unsettled as the other teams are. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night rolling, kicking it. George Kurtz, gracious enough to be talking pucks with us in the late night hours. Time just flying by. We'll just keep George for one more segment, and we'll let his kids do their laundry. They're probably getting upset right now in the middle of the night. So, Kurtz, we were just talking about in the chat. People are talking about home ice and what it means anything right now. And I think it does a little bit, actually. Not because, you know, listen, there's no fans, I get it, but anybody that knows hockey, anybody that's played hockey, anybody that's watched a lot of hockey knows each arena has its own nuances, George, right? Listen, you're a referee, and even in the rinks that you play, and I'm sure you know, man, there's a little rut in the ice over there. Like when things like if it gets wet, listen, I was a goalie, George. I can tell you every characteristic about every ice I played in. I was like, yeah, man, that crease sucks when it's hot out and it gets all watery. And like, you know, just the sort of little things, there's a rut there. You know, be careful if you fire the puck into the corner, it might bounce in a weird way off that piece of glass over there, right? And I get it. There's scouting reports now. Everybody in the league sort of knows, all right, guys, the glass is live in the corner in this rink. The glass is dead. The glass is this. The boards are live. The board is dead. Every rink has its nuances. But the home guy would know more. That it, I know there's not fans, but dressing in your own dressing room. You're in your own locker, bro. You're in your own locker stall. You know what I'm saying? Don't tell me it's not a slight advantage for the home guys, George, in my opinion. What do you think?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you. I agree with you. Everything you just said, all the nuances, the creature comforts. Right? You're sleeping at home. You know your own locker room. You know that, hey, if you shoot the puck around the glass here, it might bounce out to the middle of the crease. We've seen that over and over again. You mentioned the glass gives here, doesn't give here. You know, boards are hard here. It's live. It's going to come right out to you, not so here. We see that over and over again. I was surprised, Gabe, that they didn't do what you said earlier. Why not have the East teams go to Edmonton and the West teams go to Toronto? You know, switch it up a little bit. I guess they didn't want to travel or travel further, I guess, but you're traveling anyway. Whatever. Once again, I'm okay with it. If it ends up being an Edmonton-Toronto Stanley Cup, then we know the NHL screwed up once again.
They're throwing Toronto a bone. They're like, listen, guys, we're trying to help you out here a little bit. It's not like having – put it this way. It's not like if you're the Leafs, not like having fans in the playoffs has helped you. You haven't won since 1967. You've had fans, you know what I'm saying? I would be like, yeah, no fans. Hey, as a Buffalo Bill fan, I'd say the same thing. Fine, no fans. I remember once, when we wore, the color rush, the Bills were in red. People were all mad. They're like, ah, the Bills are in red. They're not red. I'm like, listen, guys, have we won a bunch of Super Bowls in blue here? You know what I mean? At this point, I don't care, man. Wear, candy stripe pink for all I care, all right? Just win a damn Super Bowl, all right? I don't care what you wear. Wear whatever you want. Just win a Super Bowl. So, all right, let's blast through this. So, Edmonton should get it done. If Connor McDavid's the greatest player in all this, he's got to carry the oil here. It's 6.5. Is that a trap? Or, you know, it's hard to bet an under here. 6.5 is a lot of goals in the first game up here. But this game's Saturday at 3:00. You think Edmonton wins the series as well?
I do. I am worried about the ice conditions you mentioned. It's Edmonton has generally the best ice in the NHL, but we generally don't play in late July.
Yeah, they're going to be good there. They take it super serious. they take their ice serious in Edmonton, George. I think the ice will be better in Edmonton than Toronto. Not that I don't take it serious in Toronto, but you know, Toronto should be fine as well, because when you consider one of the challenges is at this time of the year often is there's concerts. So you'll have a, you know, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest will play one night, and or there's a basketball game one night, and then hockey, and it's tough. So, you know, now they've been able to just crank the cool, man, and just keep the, you know, they're all they've had is ice. There's no events going on there. That's going to be an advantage for them. And listen, Brad Marchand complains about anything all the time anyway. So he's saying that the ice is bad, whatever. So the series price for the Blackhawks is plus 156. The Edmonton Oilers are minus 190. I got to agree. As far as the Rangers and the Canes, I'll take the Rangers to win the series as well. I think the Edmonton Oilers will beat the Chicago Blackhawks in this series. So let's keep it rolling right now, and leads us into your New York Islanders and the Florida Panthers. You know, it's interesting. You know, one of the advantages I like that the Islanders have usually is their coach. I'm a big Trotz guy. Like, you know, he's well prepared, but don't, you know, oh yeah, the Panthers have a pretty good coach too, don't they? Right? You got Joel Quenneville over there. I'm going with the Florida Panthers here. I'm sorry, Kurt. You're an Islander fan, so I look forward to your take on this. I think the power play is going to be the difference. The goaltending as well. I think Bobrovsky can carry these guys. The Islanders are just sort of offensively challenged too much for me. I like Quenneville. Like, he's just a winner, and he's going to be able to find a way. I think the talent is just better with the Panthers. What do you make of this from an Islander perspective?
Well, in some ways, you can say the Islanders are playing with house money, because if the season wasn't interrupted by COVID, they weren't making the playoffs. They lost 7 straight at the before the season was interrupted, 11 of 12. They were a dying team. They were not going to make it here. That being said, they did beat Florida all 3 times, whatever that means here. But I agree with you. I have Florida winning the series as well, mainly because I don't think the Islanders can score. I just don't see that changing here. And I'll go one further for you. Bobrovsky was awful during the regular season. I mean, you could make an easy argument that Chris Dreiger should have taken over for him. If he didn't get hurt, he might have. If Bobrovsky could forget about that, forget about the first 6 months of the season, and this is when you start your Panthers career, if he could be that goaltender, I think they're a threat in this whole in the NHL, not just to beat the Islanders, but to move on and be a – they have – this is a good roster, a good team. You mentioned Q behind the bench. I like Florida a lot. If Bobrovsky could be the guy they spent all that money on, give me Florida in 4.
He was a little better before the shutdown. Like all these Russian guys, he's streaky. He can be good. It's a little bit of a concern, but can the Islanders take advantage of it? And, you know, I hate to say it, but the Islanders are a type of team that a goalie can build his confidence with, George, right? Your good point about the ice, though. And it's crazy because by the time, you know, they get to the ice, Mr. Sidney Crosby and Malkin and company take the ice. Montreal Canadiens, so we'll pick up the pace here and blast through this, so we'll get you out of here after. Canadiens and Penguins. You giving the Canadiens a chance here in game one and or in the series? I'm surprised, actually. The Canadiens are only paying plus 140 in game one, so they're getting a little bit of love from the book.
Well, I think they're not sure about Crosby, right? Because he's a little banged up. He's got a core injury. We think he's going to be okay, be ready to play. But we know in hockey, if Carey Price, I'm pretty sure he is going to play. He didn't opt out. If he's Carey Price, well, a well-rested Carey Price, Montreal has a shot. Because the Pittsburgh goaltending is at best here. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in the series, but I don't love this at all. I think it's going to be a tough series for the Penguins. I'll see they're going to win in 5, Gabe, but I wouldn't touch this as far as betting. I think it's going to be much tougher than people realize.
Montreal Canadiens are plus 176. The Pittsburgh Penguins are minus 220 in the series. Very good point by George, because as I stated, normally there's a correlation between the game one line and the series price. But with Crosby's unknown status, and that's always the case with Pittsburgh. They're always injured, this team. And are they going to last through 5 games without getting injured? I'm going to take a shot with the Canadiens, an upset here. If there's the pandemic has given the Canadians a puncher's chance against the Penguins in a five-game series. And look, Crosby's not even 100% right now. And as you stated, Carey Price is good enough to, you know, steal a game. They win game one. Suddenly, the, you know, the Penguins are under pressure. So the Canadians are plus 176 for the series. Pittsburgh Penguins minus 220. A series that I'm looking forward to, I wish there was fighting and scrumming, would be Calgary and Winnipeg, because I know that would be chippy as hell. But I'm buying into the Winnipeg Jets here. You know, they have the better goalie between the two of them. They had the hottest goalie in the league. We'll see if Hellebuck can able to continue it. But they got to shore up a little bit. They give up too many scoring opportunities. I mean, they gave up the most. He has the most saves in the league, which is a problem. But he's up to the task. Six shutouts this year. You know, the power play is good for both of them. It struggled after the All-Star break, New Year's around then. Both their power plays got real good. But Winnipeg's been good at killing penalties. They got better at it after they were terrible earlier in the year. Special teams could be a difference because I could see a lot of guys doing stupid things in this series and a lot of penalties, George. So I think special teams are the difference. I'm going to go with the better power play in the Jets, and I'm going to go with the better goalie in the Jets. I like the Jets to win the series.
I do as well. I think the Jets underperformed all season long. Hellebuck is invested in the trophy candidate. He played that well during the regular season. Wheeler, Shifley, Patrick Laine, Ehlers. I know Ehlers has never scored a playoff goal, but I like them a whole bunch. Give me the Jets here. I don't want to downplay Calgary, but when I look at it, Hellebuck versus Rittich. I just trust Hellebuck much more.
All right, so man, I can't believe hockey. It's like, wow, hockey's here for real, and these games count. So Winnipeg and Calgary, that's going to be crazy on Saturday night. Then we get in Arizona, weird stuff with the general manager getting fired or leaving or whatever the hell happened there. A lot of everybody's picking Arizona. It's almost too trendy right now, Kurtz. Like nobody's on Nashville in this series.
Arizona was another team that really died at the end. I'm going Nashville here. I think we don't like Nashville because we don't trust their goaltending. I think the 4 months off of Pekka Rinne, good thing. Give me the Preds.
George Kurtz. George, great stuff here this evening. Thanks for the extended stay with us. Our apologies to your family. I know they wanted to do the laundry. Looks like you're going to be up all night, Kurtz. Thanks for the time.
Anytime. They're up all night anyway.
George Kurtz. Sports Rage Late Night continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Thank you very much, Yang. Congratulations to the parlay producer. Yang fell short. Nice big fat parlay over the weekend, but bounced back. What was it, Yang? $160? $167 for 10 bucks?
Yeah, it was $167 for 10 bucks. But I got to find out about this Indians game that got postponed, but I hit my other three.
Oh, so no. Now it's going to be... it'll be like $10 for $103.
That's not bad, buddy. Instead.
But still, yeah, you did better than I did. I wagered a lot of money today on various different baseball games. If you tune into Game Time Decisions, our baseball picks been pretty good this year. We've been pretty selective. We gave you the Milwaukee Brewers. They were lucky to win the baseball game. We gave you the Mets. The Mets crushed. The Red Sox are bad, guys. We can take advantage of that. And we gave you the Blue Jays game to stay under the number. But that damn MLS, man. Like, yeah, man, the MLS has been rough. You know, it's the same thing in the MLS almost every night. I'm losing this first game, and then we scratch back, and we win the second game. But then my confidence is shot after the first match. But nobody likes a quitter. We're going to keep it rolling. I like Columbus tomorrow night. And the MLS is back, and we'll keep on grinding. With the Major League Baseball Board. It was good to get Milwaukee, and we're keeping a track record now, guys, about the rule. Now, listen, I was, I've got on record and I said I'm not a fan of starting with a runner on second base. To be honest with you, I really don't care. I'm more mad about the playoff stuff than I was about the second base stuff. And when I say I don't really care, because whatever, man. Like, does it really affect my life all that much? If the players don't care, like I said, like the players don't care, the owners don't care, they bastardize the league anyway. So at this point, there's no tradition. Like, throw out history and tradition out the window. It doesn't matter anymore. It's irrelevant. So, and the fact of the matter is, the game ends fast. It does get it over with. And we've all been there as bettors as well. It's like, yeah, whatever, man. Just like, you know, get the damn game over with, all right? And that's what happens. There, it gets over with. But listen, I never win NHL shootouts. I hate NHL shootouts. But fortunately, we won't have to deal with those now. It's the playoffs. So, you know, I don't mind betting in the NHL. I do well betting the NHL. The problem is I do not do well when a game goes to a shootout. Like, I'm literally like, you know, I probably won like 14 times and I've lost like 192 times or something. Like, it's atrocious. Like, I basically don't even watch. I'm like, oh, I'm done. I'm not going to win in the shootout. I don't win. But we're now 2-0 in this Major League Baseball format. Remember, we all hit it together the other night with the Oakland A's. They hit the home run. And we had the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. So, you know what? I'm starting to like this format. 2-0. We'll take it. We'll take it. All right, so we're talking NHL right now. Listen, we're going to get into the... We'll get into the NBA tomorrow night. The NBA back is Thursday. We'll run through all the odds. We'll get some basketball talk guests on, and we'll talk hoops. We'll get into this. We're going to have some fun this week. Hockey playoffs, NBA playoffs, baseball chaos. But we're picking winners with baseball and MLS craziness that's like Russian roulette. Like MLS games, man, like, you know, I'll lose $385 or I'll win $450. It's like it's been very volatile. I've lowered the limits over, you know, today. I learned my, in MLS, I'm like, all right, I can't just go crazy here. Even though LAFC have now played four matches in this tournament, all four games have sailed over the number. Like, over the numbers. Like, 2.5s, 3.5s, like, sail, over. Sailed over. All right, so we were talking pucks with George Kurtz, and poor guy, we couldn't keep him all night. So we were talking pucks. We're going through the NHL series. So Arizona are a very trendy pick right now. Weird story with their general manager who gets fired or quit or whatever. Who cares? So does it affect them on the ice? No. Arizona, plus 112. Nashville Predators, minus 136. You can't throw a hockey puck without finding someone that's going to tell you how the Predators suck, about how the Preds are no good. The Preds aren't the same team. The Preds, like, are underachievers. And Arizona's the play. Yet, doesn't that concern you a little bit? I'm not in love. Look, the Predators have cost me over the years. I used to believe that the Preds were going to win a Stanley Cup. When they lost the Stanley Cup, I rode them to the Cup. And, you know, we made some nice money off the Predators, but we fell short in the Stanley Cup. The Predators are not the same team as they were when they went to the Stanley Cup. But at the same point in time, we don't know how they're going to react out of this pandemic, and they do have talent. I think it's kind of a trap. I'm not ready to pull the trigger with Arizona. Yeah, and I'm not going to bet every series. I do think Edmonton beat Chicago, but I'm not really a fan of laying minus 190 with the Oilers in a five-game series with this young, unproven team. I'll bet the Oilers in game one, and we'll take it from there. But I'm not going to play the Oilers on the series price. The Toronto Maple Leafs are an interesting team. The Leafs don't have the grit, in my opinion, to win a Stanley Cup. But in the first round of this stuff, I believe that younger offensive teams are going to have an advantage. You know, the bigger dudes, they're not going to be up to speed. Young skaters can sort of just fly around at the best of times anyways. Like, I don't think they're going to be hindered at all. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think Mitch Marner is going to be slow out there. Like, you know, Sort of like James Harden. Was he rusty? Yeah, for 30 seconds. You know, like, I think the Leafs' speed could be an issue. Columbus got healthier. I'm not a fan of the minus 182 of the series price. I do think the Leafs are going to win the series. Same thing. I'll bet the Leafs in the games. You know, game one, we'll take it from there. Not ready to pull the trigger. I do like the Panthers to beat the Islanders, but it's only plus 100, so we'll just play it game by game. This next series is intriguing to me in the rotation here at FanDuel. The Minnesota Wild and the Vancouver Canucks. Man, the Vancouver Canucks, I think, are a better team than people realize that they are. Very deep team, the Vancouver Canucks. Very deep team. I mean, they've got multiple dudes that can put the puck in the net. You know, JT Miller, Horvat, Bosser, Pearson. You know, they're deep. They've got guys, but they got six guys with 20 goals. They got six guys with 20 goals. They can roll four lines deep. They're a grinding team, but they can put the puck in the net. They score like 3.25 goals a game. To me, there's a lot to like about this Vancouver Canuck team. I think they have a chip on their shoulder. I think they're a hungry team. I think the Minnesota Wild are a perfect opponent for them as well. Vancouver Canucks power play. Guys, in the playoffs, I don't care under what format it is, power plays are important. Special teams are important. And Vancouver Canucks, 24.2%. They convert on 24.2% of their opportunities on the power play, which is very impressive. Fourth best in the National Hockey League. Like I said, there's a lot to like about the Vancouver Canucks. They're a deep team, good team. Fair price, minus 134 against the Minnesota Wild. I like the Vancouver Canucks. I'm going to pull this is a series I will play. I'll pull the trigger on the Vancouver Canucks at minus 134. If you like the Minnesota Wild, they're plus 110. The Montreal Canadiens, I think, can beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Canadiens are a strange team in a sense that they do play better in the playoffs. It's one thing about Carey Price and Claude Julien, and I don't know if it's the mystique and stuff, or they just buy in. But in limited spurts, though. Like, the Montreal Canadiens aren't built, like, physically to win four playoff rounds, right? But I think the Canadiens have a much better chance. The less physical it is, the better chance that they have. And I think that this pandemic, it might not be as physical at first. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how, like, teams, are they just going to kill each other right out of the gate? I don't know. Pittsburgh are a good team, but they're not a great team. I would like a little bit more. I wish I was getting like plus 200, plus 210 or something like that with the Canadiens. But with Carey Price, they have the better goaltender. The Canadiens can put the puck in the net as well. They're going to get, you know, basically the Canadiens and the Penguins are going to play like a bunch of 4-3 games. I don't think it'll be 5-4, 6-5, but 4-3, you're going to need to score a few goals to win. I don't think two goals ain't going to win these games. But I think Carey Price is kind of more capable of keeping a puck out of the net. Plus 176, the Montreal Canadiens to upset the Pittsburgh Penguins. As we've said, you know, we've been emphasizing and stressing that in a five-game series, game one is paramount. The NHL hasn't done this in forever. The last time they did this was like 1986. And the game one winner went on to win all eight playoff series. So that's how critical it is there. We talked about the Winnipeg Jets series briefly with George Kurtz. We talked about, you know, the Jets' penalty kill has greatly improved. The Jets' power play is very good. They have arguably the hottest goalie in the National Hockey League, although unfortunately he's been off for four and a half months or whatever, to 5 months is whatever it's been. But man, the dude's seen more rubber than Jenna Jameson. So I think he could have used a little bit of a break. I don't know. Calgary are favored in this series. I don't, you know, George Kurtz brought it up. Rittich between the pipes for the Calgary Flames. Calgary relies on that first line so much. I think that Winnipeg are just, I think Winnipeg are a little bit deeper. I should let you guys know, though, like I'm like the curse of Winnipeg, or I don't know what it is. Like whatever I think Winnipeg will do, like they'll do the opposite of. So I'm almost scared to buy in. A couple of years ago, I thought Winnipeg were going to the cup. When they lost, it was when Vegas, they lost to Vegas. I thought Winnipeg was, I thought Winnipeg had what it took to go to the Stanley Cup. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Stanley Cup now, but they are a sleeper to me. Now, we haven't gotten to a lot of these upper tier teams because they're not on the board yet, right? They're playing their game sprinkled in, which is kind of dumb, but it is what it is. You know, they're not on the board yet. So, you know, we just have these series prices. So Arizona plus 112, Nashville Predators minus 136. I'm not going to play the series, but I think Nashville will beat them. Chicago Blackhawks and Edmonton. Edmonton are minus 190. Chicago are plus 156. I think Edmonton will beat them. I don't know. Maybe we could put them in a parlay. Edmonton, we've got till Saturday to figure it out. Columbus and the Maple Leafs. I think the Maple Leafs are going to win, but I'm not really in a hurry to lay minus 192 with the Maple Leafs. Florida and the Islanders. I like the Panthers, but they're only plus 100. I am going to bet the Vancouver Canucks to beat the Minnesota Wild at minus 134 series price. Little sprinkle on the Blue Blanc et Rouge, the Montreal Canadiens at plus 176 against the Penguins. Rangers are plus money as well. Sports Rage Late Night continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night. Shout out to George Kurtz for joining us. George Kurtz always has very interesting phone connections and different sounds. Like, sounded like he was in a submarine at first. Or an aircraft carrier, and we have like some weird alarm, like you know, on a Navy ship. Oh, that's my alarm. It reminds me I got to do some work here. Kurtz has got like a Navy like blowhorn going off at like 12:15 Eastern time in the middle of the night. I'm like, what about your kids? He's like, ah, my kids are all up. Always good. Always good with George Kurtz. Fun show. Show just flew by here this evening. All right, so we got two more MLS games on tap tomorrow night. I'm going to miss this. You know what? I'm going to miss the MLS tournament, but my account isn't. Columbus and Minnesota. End of the line for Minnesota tomorrow. I think the Columbus Crew get it done. Columbus Crew. And the Portland Timbers play FC Cincinnati. FC Cincinnati, definitely one of the stories, the Cinderella great stories of this MLS's back tournament. It's been quite a few of them. There's been some real good stories of overachieving teams and underdogs advancing. Orlando's in a lot of trouble now, though. Orlando's got to play LAFC. It's been a nice run for FC Cincinnati since they lost 4-0 to the Columbus Crew, but I don't know. The Portland Timbers just continuously get undervalued, in my opinion. They are minus 140. A parlay is plus 260. So to win in 90 minutes, the regulation parlay. Portland Timbers and the Columbus Crew. Is plus 260. That's what that parlay pays. All right, we're going to jump onto the hardwood tomorrow as the NBA's back on Thursday. If you're looking to pull the trigger on something, I do like the Pelicans Jazz on Thursday night. Other than that, you're on your own. Later. Bagels and Bad Beats next.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.